Upstairs here, we're going to be looking at how the Spirit of Holiness is in the resurrection. And we're going to be looking at Romans 1, verses 1 to 7. And we're going to be looking at this passage, recognizing the fact that our resurrection faith, we have a faith which rises and based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so I call it our resurrection faith. We are part of that. That's who we are. And it depends on knowing and experiencing the power of God at work in Jesus Christ to raise Him from the dead and at work in us to bring us new life. That we live by the power of this Holy Spirit. And it gives us the power then to be ambassadors for Christ in the world. This is our Father's world, and it's a place in which we are representing Jesus Christ, the face of the Lord Jesus, to the world as we go out from this place, as we go about our weekly and daily activities, as we even go from this church today and spend our Sunday, whatever we're doing. And it's a high calling to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, a very high calling, the high calling of God. And it may even seem to us that it's impossible. But what seems impossible to us, you can see the guy pushing off the I and the M off the cliff, is possible for God. With God, all things are possible. And He has entrusted this whole project to you and to me. In the prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer for us. It's a prayer for me. It's a prayer for you. When you pray this, God's kingdom come and be represented in me and come into the world and push away sin and evil and Satan and just make His power much less. But that will to be done on earth has to be done by us. We have to do God's will, which is so striking because when we refer to Adam and Eve, we think of them, they're not doing God's will when they eat the fruit from the forbidden tree. They break God's will and they doubt His word and they think God doesn't want the best for them. They think they can get the best for themselves on their own. So, if God has entrusted this whole project of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ to you and to me, I say, wow. How do you go about your day thinking about that? Thinking about the fact that we are the ones who bring the kingdom of God into the world and represent Him as we go from this place. Let us pray before we read our scripture. Dear Lord, thank You so much that the Bible continually speaks truth to us, continually brings refreshing thoughts, continually confronts us with the sin that sitteth in our hearts and our minds, and continues to want to straighten us out so that we walk on a path that You mark out for us, that Your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Lord. This is our prayer. This is our longing. We know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, You make this word come alive to us and make it fruitful so that it bears a good harvest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul, in this passage beginning in Romans, he says, "I'm Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, you could say, "called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of Holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for His name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Romans 1, verse 4 says this: and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. This passage shows us that the resurrection, that in the resurrection, the Spirit of holiness raises Jesus to life. And God has sent Jesus into the world as the Messiah, and then, due to the resurrection, appoints him to the anointed position of Son of God, seated at his right hand on the throne. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there he is now, seated on the throne with God the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit surrounding them. There's a three in one. This is a preaching which involves the Trinity, which is a mystery, but it's a truth that we must not avoid. In the biblical sense, this phrase, by the Spirit of holiness, is critical as to who Jesus is. This position can only be taken by the messianic figure of the anointed Son of God. This is why the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove at his baptism is so important. This is a big moment. And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. He's not a dove, he's the Holy Spirit. Just remember that. The dove is just a symbol. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." In other words, Jesus is going to be the Son who's appointed to fulfill the will of God. And he fulfills it beautifully and perfectly. And Jesus, God is pleased with him, even though he's displeased with the rest of humanity. Really true. Because of the sin and the fallenness and the way in which they're lost, he needs to help them be found through Jesus Christ. I forgot to silence my phone. How shame on me. Silence your phones. This coming of the Holy Spirit on Jesus anoints him for his appointed role. And then he is raised to life in the resurrection, and it's witnessed to by all of these following people. When Jesus rises from the dead, he appears to the women and they see him. He appears to the apostles and they see him. He appears to many others. In fact, one count in Corinthians is that there's 500 others who see him. The early church see him and witness him as a risen Lord, and then he ascends to heaven to be enthroned at the right hand of God the Father. And when he does, ascends to heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father, his identity and his purpose are made absolutely clear, that Jesus is the anointed Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is bringing to us our salvation, who's bringing to us our deliverance, who's bringing to us our model, our example, to whom we're to follow, after whom we're to follow. The Spirit of holiness moved with power, raising Jesus Christ to life, confirming that the death of Jesus Christ was not deserved. This is an artist's portrayal of Jesus as the risen Lord, risen to the throne of God. But his death was not deserved, as Pilate testifies. When Pilate's finished with Jesus, he says, "I have found no fault in this man concerning these things about which you accuse him." He's an innocent man being railroaded to the cross. Pilate says this. Jesus did not deserve the death that he got. He was innocent. But Jesus did it as a generous act of self-giving. He surrendered himself to the cross because he was willing to empty himself out, as Philippians 2 says. Though he was in the form of God, in other words, he dwelled in heaven. He dwelled in heaven as God. He did not count that equality with God or being with God, that presence with God, a thing to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of this servant, the Son of God, being born in the likeness of men, being born to Mary as a child a son who's born in Bethlehem, but then he's one who lives in Nazareth, grows up in Nazareth with his father, the carpenter. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus did that as an act of self-giving. And he died a death that he did not deserve for us. But when the Spirit of holiness said to death, "Let go," it did. Because death could not hold him. Spirit of holiness came with power and said, taking him out of death, we're taking him to life. Death could not hold him. Acts 2, verse 24. And the Spirit proved to be the power of God in action. Power of God in action. Death could not hold him. The power of the Holy Spirit raised him to life. In that same hope of his power at work in us and for us, we have been grounded. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you and living in me. That power helps us to live the Christian life, to be the witnesses, the ambassadors for him in the world we live in today. Romans 8 beautifully says and follows on from the Spirit of holiness that raises Jesus Christ to life and says that Spirit, Romans 8, is filled with the power of the Spirit. It says it's living in you and living in me. And we are grounded in that hope that that life-giving power, that power that inspires our faith, will carry us through to the end so we can run this race without losing our purpose. So that one day when death comes for us, that same Spirit of holiness will grant us new life to be with Christ forever. That for us, when we are prepared to die, when we go to death, we will all die unless Jesus returns first. That's up to Jesus. I'm not going to tell you when it is. I'm going to tell you that be patient and persevere. That what we're called to do is continue to follow this Christian path of being ambassadors for him in the world in which we live. Do not ever deviate from that. Do not lose sight of that. Do not wait for the great escape. You know, that I'll be just transported to heaven or whatever it is. We are to focus on our lives here and now. How we are. How the Spirit of holiness is inspiring us and moving us. Because he will claim us when we die to be with us with Christ forever. He'll claim us to be granted the life that doesn't die. A life beyond this life, when this life goes. We are granted by faith eternal life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life which will outlast the physical death that we die. This Spirit is the Spirit of life who breathed life into our very bodies of dust, and now also has made alive our spiritual life. The Holy Spirit and living a holy life are totally intertwined, totally connected. This sermon is focusing a great spotlight on the Holy Spirit and realizing that it's a powerful message for us to remember who the Holy Spirit is and how powerful he can be. You might think, oh, have I jumped ahead to Pentecost? Well, no, I haven't. I'm still trying to live as a people of Easter faith. But our Easter faith is totally grounded in the hope that is found in the power of the Holy Spirit working in us because of Jesus Christ to live a holy life. And the Holy Spirit gave us life. You know, we have to breathe when we come out of the womb. And there's always that picture of the doctor holding us by our feet, and then, you know, maybe the baby isn't breathing and it gives it a smack and it starts to breathe again. Maybe there's more sophisticated ways of doing that. You know, they have NICU units and they'll give you a bit of oxygen or do whatever it takes. But you got to breathe, and that breath comes because of the Holy Spirit. Because when God made us out of dust, he formed us and then he breathed life into us. And that's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit breathing life into us. And then the Holy Spirit not only does that, he makes alive our spiritual life. We are born into Jesus, a new life through Jesus Christ, born again, and that new life comes from the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no history of Israel. The Messiah, Israel, and the Holy Spirit all belong together. The Holy Spirit is inspiring the birth of a new nation called the people of God. The Holy Spirit is with Hagar, who Crystal was mentioning earlier. That's very important because at that moment, God sees and he hears. And he sees and he hears by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit among us and hovering over us and watching over Hagar and then ultimately Isaac and then Jacob and then all of his dysfunctional family, his children, you know, the 12 children he has. And they become the nation of Israel. But they're made the nation of Israel who are called to worship God. They go through the wilderness. They have the tabernacle. They see the law come down from the mountain. It's all by the power of the Holy Spirit present in them that they walk out of the history of Israel. And without the Holy Spirit, there would be no worship of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot worship God. The Holy Spirit inspires us to worship God. And that's what's beautiful about song in the Christian church. We sing. They don't really sing. If you go to a mosque and you want to see Muslims, they don't really sing. They have the call to prayer from the minaret, but that's as far as it goes. The congregation doesn't sing. It's not part of their faith. The Buddhist monks chant, but they don't really sing their theology. We sing our theology. We sing, this is our Father's world, to my listening ears. All nature sings, the music of the spheres. We're talking about the power and witness of the Holy Spirit telling us God is alive and that he's made this world and shaped it for us. There would be no worship of God without the Holy Spirit. There would be no Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gave birth to Jesus. Matthew 1 verse 20, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the work of God the Father, cannot be separated from the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't be here without the Holy Spirit. And there would be no ministry of Jesus without the Holy Spirit, as we were talking about that passage. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. That's when he began his ministry. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was tested by Satan. But he's full of the Holy Spirit, and his whole ministry from this point on becomes a public ministry of healing, of raising Lazarus from the dead, all because he's ministering the power of the Holy Spirit through his life. And without the Holy Spirit, there would be no resurrection, as we've just been reminded of by Paul. The Spirit of holiness has risen, has the Spirit of holiness is appointed by, Jesus was a descendant of David. He was human. So he was descended from David, so he is qualified to be the Messiah through his earthly life. But then who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead? Through the Spirit of holiness, he was raised to new life. And we are raised to new life. But there would be no resurrection without the Holy Spirit. And there would be no birth of the church without the Holy Spirit, because the birth of the church occurs at the day of Pentecost when all the flames come and the house shakes and Peter begins to preach. And they hear all different kinds of tongues. The birth of the church, and obviously it's a sign. It's a symbol, that whole day of Pentecost, that they're going to go to the nations, and they're going to go to the Gentiles, and you're going to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, you and I. There'd be no birth of the church without that. This church represents Pentecost, doesn't it? I mean, we could be speaking Tagalog, I could be speaking Dutch, Hillary could be speaking some Irish, we could be speaking Japanese, we could be speaking Korean, we could be speaking Chukis, Chamorro, our own language of this island, Chamorro, and so many others, and the multiple languages of the Micronesian islands, you know. We represent that. But even though we all have those diverse languages, we are here gathered in one Holy Spirit to worship one Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. The same Spirit of holiness, whom we call the Holy Spirit, is at work giving us gifts and talents and special abilities to conduct all the work of God's kingdom here on earth. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to have gifts and talents and special abilities to conduct the work of God's kingdom here on earth. Now, our faith can only come by knowing and experiencing the power of God revealing to us the truth. The Holy Spirit, like this arrow punching its way through the wall, is what the Holy Spirit does. He punches truth into our lives. He reveals truth. He inspires truth. He confirms truth in us. And we experience and know the power of God doing that. And embodies for us the reality of God's love. Makes us available to God to be obediently seeking His will in our lives and in the world. We obediently seek God's will. When the prayer is said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it calls us. It calls us. Like Paul says in Romans 1, he is called. Paul says, "I'm a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle." And so God has confirmed the truth of the gospel in Paul, and he's called to go forth and share it now. And then you are also, the Romans are Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. How ironic is it that we are looking to Rome for this new pope? And thousands gather to listen to him, who is a Christian brother. And he's been expressing that in beautiful ways. Many, many, very great example to look to. But in any case, Rome is filled with churches because these Romans listened to Paul and the apostleship that he brought, and there's been a Christian presence there through the ages, 2,000 years of church history. And the gospel had to go throughout the Italian peninsula from Rome. It had to go to places like Paris and Amsterdam, which didn't even exist at that time when Rome had Christians confessing the faith. Called to listen to God's truth. Called to be obedient to Him. Called to seek God's will in our lives and in the world. Now, you may love the book of Romans because it has so much about the righteousness of God that we find in Jesus Christ. You might love it because it's logical and it follows this line, arguments that are profound. But it also speaks continuously in Romans about the power of the Spirit of God working in us to make us into godly people. And so the question and the challenge for us all is, how can we rely on the power of God to do that, to make us godly people? We must not consider the Spirit of holiness as secondary, but realize He is central to the entire story of God's revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the one whom the gospel is all about. You see, we can sometimes forget how central the Holy Spirit is to our story of faith. Because the Holy Spirit is revealing the truth of God. God reveals true power through Jesus Christ. And He is revealing to us that there's power because of our faith that comes to us from God through the ministry and working of the Holy Spirit. So life here in the church cannot function without the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in our lives doing is reminding us of the power working of God's love. And this is a wonderful reminder. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. You know, they're eloquent preachers. Preachers much more eloquent than I. And some of them, speak to the world. Someone was telling me this week about John MacArthur. Used to listen to him. He listened to him 30, 40 years ago. I mean, been continuing to speak. There's David Jeremiah. You can go on television and listen to him preach. My father in Grand Rapids listens to him. He's based in San Diego, but he has a cable channel, so he gets to preach to great crowds. But none of us should depend on the wisdom of any man anywhere, but we must depend on the power of God in our faith. The power of God is what's working to make us confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there are, look, I had a young person in my office downstairs, the couch, looking at my shelves. She says, "Why do you have so many books?" So there have been a lot of preachers coming here to Guam. And the preachers always bring their books and they don't take them home. They leave them here, you know, big long sets of commentaries of Calvin, you know. And if you want to try to comprehend all of that, it's just beyond belief. We don't really depend on that. We depend on the power of God giving us the ability to confess our faith as a child comes to the Lord and says, "Forgive my foolishness, Lord. Forgive my having always to try to have the answer. But let me just trust in you. Let me surrender my life to you." And when we do, we understand it's the working of God's love that matters. The Holy Spirit does a wonderful job of revealing who Jesus is, what he's for, why he does what he does. The Spirit helps us understand the reasons behind the hard work of transformation going on in our lives. The Spirit will express prayers that we don't even know how to utter. The Holy Spirit will hover and bear with us and carry us when we don't understand. And when we feel like the discipline of God is too hard, or when he's putting us through an ordeal, a challenge that will overwhelm our faith, the Holy Spirit wants to hold us up. And he continually shows us. And this is why we are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we really never get to the end of knowing all of this. All of those books cannot contain who Jesus is, what he is for, and why he does what he does. The Holy Spirit helps us understand that he's doing this for the sake of the church, which are his representatives on earth, to go forth and represent the love of God in the world. The purpose of God's church is to pour out the love of God to the world. The Holy Spirit is in the life of Jesus to show and demonstrate the love of God. And the Holy Spirit is in the life of the church to show the love of God. And the Holy Spirit never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Holy Spirit continues to minister his grace. And we do not know, we do not come to any knowledge of saving faith without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an outpouring of God's love in Acts 2 at Pentecost. But this outpouring of God's love is then not for the sake of those people gathered in that room, but for the sake of the world. God is pouring out his love into the world. The church embraces all whom it meets with an unconditional love and makes up for the lack of love our world demonstrates because it is so infected with sin and evil. Our world is so infected with sin and evil. And the world demonstrates a lack of love. This is done in so many, many ways. And it is done in very small ways and some very large ways. But we love the church. We love the church because it helps us be inoculated. The church helps us be inoculated against this very same sin and evil. And this church is trying to help you detox time and again. The Holy Spirit helps us to love and to love the church. Because you belong to Jesus Christ, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power that leads to death. Freed you so that you can be assured of His bringing you home. And the church is a place, the people of God are a place, and hopefully we detox. We get sin and evil, and when we drive it away, becomes less. We become inoculated. You know, as strong as the antidote was to the coronavirus that we were living under, you know, finally with the vaccination level becoming high enough, that disease just became impotent, became no power over us, and we were able to walk free of it. Same thing with the power of the Holy Spirit. It makes the power of sin and death and evil impotent, so that we are freed from what brings us to death, and we are granted the promise of eternal life. And we love the church because in it, the transformational power of knowing Christ helps us in our work of doing the following things: washing each other's feet, being of good service to one another, helping one another in our weakness and in our inabilities, considering another as better than ourselves. That's a powerful thing, because
the world,
in its exercise of power and position, wants to grind you down into the dust. That's the way the world works. But the way of the Lord is to lift you up, is to consider another as better than yourselves. And then you have an inner thriving garden full of the fruit of the Spirit. By the power of the Spirit, we are then a people who represent and demonstrate love and joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We become transformed people for the transformation of this needy, needy world. Do you understand that? We become transformed people for the transformation of a needy world, in which we become a part of that antidote to sin and evil, because the Holy Spirit is continually helping us learn and thrive in those fruit of the Spirit. And we learn about that fruit through each other, because some of us may not love the way another one of us loves. And the world is looking for that love. And there are people who love powerfully and profoundly. We're thankful for that. But another person really demonstrates joy. Another person has great joy in the Lord. You see them transported in their worship of God. Another person has great peace. They just have a profound peace. You want to be with them because there's peace in their lives. Another person has that long-suffering ability. Long-suffering. They're just incredibly patient. They'll walk and persist and persevere. Another person is incredibly kind, and we want to be near them. Another person they're good all the time. They just don't seem to go astray. Don't seem to have those temptations that we have. Another person has great faithfulness. Another person has gentleness. Another person has self-control. We learn from each other, and we grow in those fruit as we share it with each other. And we become transformed people for the transformation of a needy, needy world. Amen. Dear God, thank you so much for the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, present and evident to us in the raising of Jesus from the dead, but so much more also in the ministry that he conducted in the life of Israel and here in the life of the church. We pray that we may resonate with the power of the Spirit and his revelation and the truth that he is continually teaching us and confirming to us. And may you allow us to minister in the power of that Spirit so that we can help together be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ to our needy world. And we can represent to them the most beautiful aspects of living a life of the Holy Spirit, who helps us glorify Jesus Christ in every way and helps us bring praise and honor to God the Father. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say, amen.